Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast, live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
In 1997, I moved to Virginia Beach, Virginia to start a church. I did not know what I was doing, but I just felt like God was leading us there because there were people there who needed to know that God was real and really for them. And so we moved there and started the church, and to everyone's surprise, the church just took off. We went from 4 people to 200 to 400 to 600 to 800, and we love the church. We love Virginia Beach. We thought we were going to stay there forever. And then, about 11 years later, we felt like God was leading us to Las Vegas to start another church. We didn't want to leave Virginia Beach. We didn't want to move to Las Vegas. We did not want to start another church. But as we prayed, it just seemed clear that God was calling us to do that. And I know that may sound weird, but that's what happened. And so we decided to follow God's lead and to move to Las Vegas and to start a church in the middle of Sin City. And I had a couple of pastor friends in Las Vegas, so I called them, and I said, hey, man, I hope this is cool with you, but, like, I think I'm coming. Like we're going to come there and start a church. And I had the same conversation with all of them, it seemed like. They said, Vince, there are 1.8 million people in Las Vegas who don't go to church. Get here quick. Like, we need more churches, man. And you're awesome. You would be a perfect fit for Las Vegas. And they said, what suburb are you thinking of going to? And I said, well, yeah, I'm thinking not going to a suburb at all, but like being on or right around the strip. And each of them said, Vince, you don't want to do that. They say, if you go to a suburb, you'll do incredible. You'll have bigger results than you had in Virginia. But if you go on or around the strip, anywhere around the 15, really, it won't work. Like, it so won't work, I don't think you'll ever have a first service. Like, you won't get enough momentum to even start the church, no less, like, grow the church. And it will actually be career suicide if you do this. And I said, well, God didn't give me a career. He gave me a calling, and he seems to be calling us to do that. And God's specialty is doing amazing things when the odds are stacked against him. And God's called us to be bold, and so we're going to do it. You know, let's do it. And so we moved here, and we start working towards starting this church called Verve. And we get close to our opening day, and we start letting people in the community know that we're going to start the church. And we're getting excited, and we're thinking, now, what's the worst that could happen? I didn't know about Warren. Warren, by profession, was an evil, fire-breathing clown in a horror show here in Las Vegas who moonlights as a freak doing freak show wrestling. Warren, by philosophy, was an angry atheist. And Warren heard about this new church starting in his community, and he didn't like the idea. And Warren decided to do something about it. He decided that he could kill this church before it really got going, and then spend the rest of his life bragging to all his atheist and Satanist friends, I killed a church. What have you done for our cause? And so Warren develops a plan. His plan is to go to one of the church's first services, sit in the middle of the room, and then when the pastor gets up in the middle of the service to start preaching the sermon, he would stand up, let loose a barrage of profanity, scream out questions and accusations, pick up some chairs, throw them, hit some people, and he would get kicked out. But his theory was, who'd want to come back? If you have experience like that, you wouldn't want to come back. There wouldn't be many people. If they didn't come back, the church wouldn't be able to keep going, and he would have killed the church. And that's bold. That's bold. In this series today, we're talking about bold, about bold as love. We finally got some Jimi Hendrix in here. Nice. We're going to stay through most of the key scenes in the first 5 chapters of the Bible book called Acts. Acts is a history book of the early church. Now, the next 4 weeks of the series, we're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about your lives and all about you as individuals. But today, we're going to start this series by talking about us. By talking about us as a group, as Verve Church, kind of a little bit of a state of the church kind of a thing today. So our church was started in boldness, and God has given us a bold mission of love. Our mission is to love God, love people and turn the world upside down. So let's see what that looked like 2,000 years ago for the early Christians, the first Christians in this book of Acts. And then we'll also talk about how does that apply to us today as Verve. And so Acts starts out just after Jesus is resurrected from the grave, where he was dead for 3 days because he had been crucified, and he had promised he would raise from the dead. And then 3 days later, he actually does it. Now, if you're not so sure about this whole Jesus is really resurrected from the dead thing, there's actually lots of evidence for that, which is very cool. And in a couple months, we're going to do a little series where we're going to look at some of the evidence for Jesus' resurrection. And so hopefully you'll be here for that. And so Jesus has just resurrected. And let's look at Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. If you don't have a Bible, that's totally fine. We'll put the verses on the screen for you. If you don't own one, we'd love to give you one. We have them back at the Velcro bar. We also have a little resource if you want to dig more into the message. There's a resource that you can get back there to help you do that. So Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 3, says, after his suffering, so it's talking about Jesus' crucifixion, he, Jesus, showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is about to give these guys a mission, and it's a bold mission, okay? But first he says, now don't start on this mission until you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what is that? What is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is God's invisible presence that works on non-Christians, kind of drawing them to Jesus, and works in Christians, helping them to live for Jesus and to engage in the mission that Jesus gave us. And so Jesus is like, listen, don't do this mission on your own. You need to have the Holy Spirit, God's presence inside of you, guiding you and giving you power to be effective in doing this mission. And isn't that really good news, like, for you? Because a lot of us, when we realize that God has a mission for our lives, we make excuses, don't we? We're like, wait, so I'm supposed to talk to people about Jesus? I'm not very good at that. I'm not sure what to say. And what if they ask me questions? I wouldn't know how to answer them. And I don't feel like I'm a very good example for people. Or we say, so I'm supposed to invite people to church. Well, what if they're not interested? What if I can't get them to come? Or we say, so I'm supposed to volunteer in and maybe even lead a ministry? Like, I mean, I'm new to all this stuff. I don't know if I have the skills for it. I don't know if I have the time for it. I don't think I could do that. Now, did you notice the theme in all those excuses? It's I, right? It's I. It's all about you. And listen, I think it's possible that your excuses are actually true. I think it's possible that God is up in heaven not saying to you, no, you can do it. Like, you can do anything. No, I think it's very possible that God is saying, you know what? That may all be true, but it's irrelevant. Because it's not about you. It's about me. It's about what I can do through you. And I can do anything through you. Okay? So it's cool news. God says, Jesus says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to help you with the mission. And he makes the same promise to us. Verse 8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So Jesus gives them this mission, and they're just kind of standing there because Jesus, like, I know this is like weird, but he just takes off to heaven. And so they're just standing there staring into the sky for who knows how long. And I think God up in heaven is finally like, ugh. And so he sends these two men in white. I think it's supposed to represent angels actually appear to these guys. And they're like, stop staring. He's gone up into the sky. He's going to come back someday, but it's not going to be for a while. And so for now, you have a mission. Get to it. Get to it. And what was the mission that Jesus gave them? He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He says, you will be my witnesses. Now, what is a witness? A witness is someone who is considered credible and has a relevant testimony to share that will establish the truth of something that they want people to believe. Right? And that's why you call a witness in court, because they're credible. They have relevant testimony that will help you prove your case. And Jesus says, your mission is to be my witnesses, like throughout the whole world. You need to let people know about me, that I came for them. I came for them because God loves them, and God is offering them his love. God is offering them forgiveness and a relationship with him through me. You need to let everyone know that I can set them free, that in me there is life, like better life here on earth and eternal life in heaven. Let everyone know. Be my witnesses. So that's the mission. It's the last thing Jesus said, which is important, right? Like in the military, if your commanding officer gives you a command, well, you need to do that command until you get a different command, right? It's like, okay, that's the standing command. I need to keep doing that until there's a different command. And Jesus is like, this is my final command. Until I return and say something different, this is what you're to be about. You need to let everyone know that there is a God who loves them and wants relationship with them. It's available through Jesus. Now, why is this such a big deal? Like, why is this the mission? Well, it's because God is a father. God is a father, and we're all his children. And the message of the Bible is that God has disconnected children, lost children, children who have run away from home, children maybe who have been pulled away, abducted from home. And as a loving father, of course, God's number one priority is to get his lost kids home. I mean, can you picture if you knew someone who had two kids, like I've got two kids, and one of their kids disappears, like gone. Do you think those two parents would realize their kid is gone and say, well, it's not that big a deal, we got another one? No, right? Do you think they'd say, you know what, we could make another one? No, right? Like they would be frantic because their child is gone. I mean, picture this. Like, let's say you know this couple, they're your friends, and one day their kid's out playing in the yard disappears. Okay? You know about that. And so you show up at their house and you say, listen, I feel horrible about what happened, and I really like you guys, so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna start singing you songs. Like, I'm just gonna show up every weekend, I'm gonna sing you songs. I think they'd be like, that's nice, but that's not what I need. Help me find my kid. Help me find my kid. Or if you said, hey, listen, you know how much I care about you, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show up every week, and I'm going to give you a check for 10% of my income. They'd be like, that's nice of you, and I guess that's helpful, but I just want to find my kid. Can you help me find my child? Right? Or if you said, hey, I'd like to volunteer. Like I want to show up every week, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to serve. Like, there's got to be some things I can do around here for you. They'd be like, man, we appreciate that. That's very kind, but can you help me find my kid? Like, that's all I can think about right now. We need to get our child home. And priority number one for every Christian, for every church, is to be Jesus' witnesses so we can get God's lost kids home, because God loves them. And we see that this becomes priority number one for these guys in the Bible. They start off staring into the sky, and they don't seem to be going anywhere. So God's like, send some angels. And the angels show up, and they're kind of like, guys, there's a mission, go. And so they're like, oh, okay. And so they go and they start doing this mission. Like it becomes the most important thing. The rest of the book of Acts is about them being Jesus' witnesses, letting people know who Jesus was and that he came for them, what he did for them, what he could do for them. It starts in the next chapter, in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you with your mission. And the Holy Spirit comes. They're like, this is it. Like, we got to do the mission now. And there's this holiday that happens. And so tons of people come to the city for it. And one of Jesus' friends, his disciples, Peter, preaches this kind of like this sermon to thousands of people in the middle of the city. And he talks about how, man, Jesus came for you because God loves you and you killed him. And even though you killed him, God still loves you and he wants a relationship with you. He'll forgive you for killing him. And so finally, somebody in the crowd yells out, what should we do? And Peter replies, repent and be baptized. The word repent means to turn around. He's like, the life you've been living, turn around so that you can live for God. Turn around because God's that way and you're going that way. And God wants you to be with him. Turn around and be baptized. And that very day, 3,000 people say yes. And they are baptized. And 3,000 of God's lost kids came home. And that just became priority number one for them. And priority number one for us, for Verve, is to help God's kids come home into a life-giving, life-changing relationship with God through his love. Now, what's interesting is if you hear our mission statement, it's number one is love God, right? And our mission is love God, love people, turn the world upside down. And so we would say, no, number one is love God. But listen, if you're all about loving God, then you're all about bringing God's lost kids home. Because that's what God is all about. And that is why we do what we do here. That's why we exist. And that is why we do things the way we do things here. The kind of weird way we do a lot of the things we do. And that leads us back to Warren. So Warren hatches this plan, and he shows up for a church intent on standing up and disrupting the service and destroying the church. And Warren is kind of an intimidating-looking guy. He's kind of a big guy, shaved head, tattoos, scowls a lot. And so he walked in, and he later told me that he couldn't wait to walk in and get those "what are you doing here" kind of looks, you know, like you don't belong in this place. But this is Verve. And so Warren got welcomed and smiled and, hey, man, you belong here. Come on in. And his thought was, man, they've trained these people well. So Warren comes in and he's like, this is weird. Like, they're playing music that I know, like in church, like over the loudspeakers. And he sits down. He starts waiting for the service because, like right in the middle, like, I'm going to do my plan. And the slides start going past and he's reading them. And he realizes that they're kind of funny, like, one of the signs says, if you have a cell phone, please turn it off. But if you have a pacemaker, leave that sucker on. He's like, that's kind of funny. And so finally the service starts and he's like, all right, here we go. And the band comes out and starts playing a song by Papa Roach, which is Warren's favorite band. And he's like, am I being punked? Like, what is going on? This is weird. And then someone walks out. It was me. He didn't know. And starts talking and says, hey, today we're going to talk about being spiritually dead. That it's possible you are spiritually dead. What you need is new life and God. And maybe today you're going to realize that you've been spiritually dead and didn't know it. Do you think that's possible, to be spiritually dead and not know it? Actually, it's got me thinking, do you think it's possible to be physically dead and not know it? Well, just in case it is, we designed this little top 10 list to help you guys to know if you're dead. And it was top 10 signs you're dead. And one of them was you keep hearing organ music and people saying, he looks so natural. Just stupid Verve stuff. And so we did a top 10 list. But Warren's sitting there going, what is going on? Like, this is actually kind of funny. And then this guy says, hey, we're going to pray. And then our band's going to do a couple songs. And you're like, all right, here we go. Now it's prayer and worship. Like, now we're going to get into church. But the prayer kind of made sense to him, and the songs, he didn't agree with any of the words, but it's like, you know, it's kind of rocking music, it's pretty cool. And so finally, the service ends, And Warren, the person says, see you next week. Viva la Merv. And Warren goes, oh, I forgot to do my thing. Like he got so engaged in the service that he forgot to disrupt it. And so Warren came back the next week, and he came back the week after that. And pretty soon he stopped coming back to a service each week, and he started coming to all three services each week. And by then I got to know him a little bit. And so one day he was sitting out in the lounge area, and I walked him up to him and I said, hey, man, I don't know you that well, but you've got to be smart enough to realize that they're all identical. Like, you're going through the same thing over and over. And this angry atheist, fire-breathing clown sits there, and he says, I quote, yeah, man, I know, but I just can't get enough of Jesus. Well, Warren then took our Verge class. It's a class designed for people who don't yet believe but are kind of on the verge of faith. And after the Verge class, Warren walked out back in the parking lot, and I handed him a microphone because we hand people a microphone before they get baptized and ask them to share a little bit of their story. And Warren took the microphone, and he said, I think I remember it about word for word, he said, I have a confession to make. I didn't come here for this. And he pointed to the water in the kiddie pool, because, you know, we're always classy here at Verve. And the kiddie pool is about to be baptized in. And he said, I came here because I hated you. I hated every single one of you. And I knew I was stronger than you. I knew I could destroy you. And I'm standing over here going, why'd I give him a microphone? Why'd I give him a microphone? And Warren said, but something happened to me here. And I can't understand it. I've learned here that God loves me. And I just want more of that. And what had started as little sniffles and tears ends up this, you know, big, tough guy, just full body heave sobs. He's like, and so Fire's like, this is bad. So we like took the microphone from him, and he got baptized. And if you were there, you remember he came out and he couldn't stop crying. So he took a towel, put it on his face, laid face down on the parking lot. And then the next girl's going to get baptized. And so we handed her the microphone, and she goes, hey, everybody, my name is Sarah. And she just kind of kept like going over. It was awesome. And you know what happened? One of God's lost children had come home. And that's what it's all about. And that's priority number one. You know, we're nearing our three-year mark. In just a couple months, our church is going to be 3 years old. Woo. And we're out of diapers now, and who knows what comes next. And it's cool. We're nearing having 200 stories like Warren's. Over the last 2.5 years, we're nearing having 200 stories of people who were kind of there and have decided, man, I want to come home. I want to come home to God, and that is awesome. Like, wow. But we need more. We need more because there's still about 1.8 million people in Las Vegas who don't go to church, and almost all those people don't know that God is real and really for them, and they don't experience God's love on a daily basis, and they're not living in a relationship with Him. And so this year, we've got three, I think, really cool initiatives that we're going to do to try to make us even more effective in being Jesus witnesses in Las Vegas. And I just want to briefly tell you about them, and you'll hear more as the months go by. But first, we're going to do a big advertising campaign in February. We're going to do a series called God for the Rest of Us. And we're going to promote it with billboards and postcards and radio ads. And we're going to get you guys T-shirts. And here's what we've learned through doing some advertising in the past 2 years. All those ads will not bring in that many people. So why do it? Well, the main reason, honestly, is to help you invite your friends. It just serves as a conversation starter for you. Like, hey, did you get that postcard in the mail? That's actually the church I go to, the God for the Rest of Us thing. That's the church I go to. Man, you should come this weekend. Like, I think you'd really like it. It's different. Or, hey, do you see that billboard, God for the Rest of Us? You saw that? That's actually my church, you know, God for the Rest of Us. It's kind of, the idea is, you know, God's not just for the perfect people. He's for the imperfect people like us, you know. And in fact, we say no perfect people allowed at our church. Man, you should come, like, because you're not perfect. And, you know, and neither am I. And you'd really like it, you know. Or, my shirt, God for the Rest of Us? Yeah, it's my church. It's just this idea that, you know, God came for all of us, not just for the holier-than-thou types who go to church. And hey, you should come. Like, it's church for people who don't like church, but if you don't like church, you would love my church. It's to help you guys have conversations, because your mission is to be Jesus' witness. That's the mission of your life. And to help people come home to God. And one of the easiest ways, honestly, to do that is to invite somebody to come here to Verve with you. And we've tried real hard to design this church so that you can feel comfortable inviting your friends, and you know it's not going to be weird for them or anything like that. And so what if, come February, with all this advertising we do, what if we all just invite everyone we know? Like, literally, what if we invite everyone we know? Second initiative, also in February, is that we're going to be launching online services at very strategic times. Now, a lot of churches are doing online services, and what they do is they do the online service at the same time that they're doing a live service. So it's like, you can come here, or you can sit at home and watch it. That is not what we're doing at all. We have done interviews with hundreds of people in Las Vegas since we moved here, and one of the questions we keep asking people is, hey, I know you don't go to church, but if you did want to go, when would you want to go? And it's been interesting. There are a lot of people who can go on Sunday mornings. But unlike other cities, there are a lot of people who can't go on Sunday mornings or just won't go on Sunday mornings. They work later in the day on Sunday, or they work on Saturday night and don't get home till the middle of the morning, or, you know, just like their weekend is like that because of work in Las Vegas and the Strip. And so they can't come on Sundays, and so what we've decided to do is start recording our entire service live, and then having a specific time each day, Tuesday through Saturday, so the days that we don't have live services here, where people can watch those services online, and the service times are going to be strategically odd. Most of them are going to be in the middle of the night. Like, we're going to have an 11:05 service and a 12:05 service a.m. and a 1:05 service a.m. and hope to reach some people who maybe just can't make it here on a Sunday morning or even on a Monday night at 7. So third initiative, in March, we're going to start having a few Ververs start hosting strategic block parties. Now, we've done this in the past in parks. If you've been around for a while, you know that. But we're now going to move those block parties into people's front yards. We're hoping that what this will do is build some community in neighborhoods that sorely lack it, which is like just about every neighborhood in Las Vegas really needs more neighborliness. And so hopefully it will accomplish that. And at the same time, help someone at Verve build relationships with their neighbors so that hopefully someday, eventually, they can invite them to come to church with them. And what we're going to do is we're going to start with like three families that host like three or four block parties a year. But if it's effective, we're planning on multiplying it and hope to have like dozens of homes where block parties are happening multiple times a year, every year. One of the other things we're going to do is we're going to invite some Ververs who live in that geographic vicinity to come and help the host family host their block party. And so you get the side benefit that, you know, those people are getting to develop some new friendships with people who live like, kind of like over in the next neighborhood. So in addition to all the things we normally do here at Verve, three kind of new initiatives for 2013 to let people know that, man, Verve is here for them, and to give you guys a chance to talk to people about Verve and invite your friends to come here with you. Now, think about this. Our church is about to hit the three-year-old mark, and we started with six people in my living room. And then we grew to 70 people in a casino, and now we're a little over 200 people here each weekend. By the way, you guys did a great job of inviting people for Christmas Eve. In December, we were having about 220 people a week is kind of normal here. On Christmas Eve, we had 335. It's the most people we've ever had here because you guys invited your friends, so good job. Way to go. But here's what I would love to see in 2013. I would love to see over 300 people here consistently. Like, that just becomes normal here. not because we want a bigger church. Okay, that's not the deal. If we wanted a bigger church, I wouldn't have left Virginia. If we wanted a bigger church, we would have started in a suburb. Not because we want a bigger church, but because we're talking about people, right? They're people. It's not about our attendance numbers. No, 100 more people in this room would mean 100 more of God's children here where he wants them to be. It's our mission. And if we really love God, it's our passion. Like, that's what we're passionate about. And not only is it for God, and it is, and not only is it for those people who'd show up here and have their lives changed by being here, which it is, it's also because of the increased impact we could have together. Like, think about it. How much more could we do for the kids of Dean Peterson Elementary if there were 50% more of us, right? How much more could we do for the kids in Rocco Forte, Ecuador, if there were 50% more of us? And so, you know, that's really cool. So what if we grew by 100 or more people this year? Now that may sound easy to you, but it's really not. One of the reasons is because what we found here at Verve is that we lose probably about 75 people every single year. Mostly because so many of you bozos keep moving out of town. Stop doing that. Stop moving, seriously. Like, how cool would it be if we just, like, stuck together and did this mission together for years and years? Like, how much fun would that be, right? So stop moving. But we're probably going to lose 75 people this year. We have every other year. And so if we lose 75 people, to grow by 100 means we need to actually grow by, we're good at math, 175, right? But here's what else we know. We know that not every new person who comes stays. Some people decide, I'm not really into this God thing. Some people maybe are into the God thing but aren't into the Verve thing, which we're not for everybody. That's fine. And so maybe half the people who show up go, yeah, I like this. And so if we need 175 more people and half of them are going to stay, that means we need 350 people to show up. And now it's starting to get to be a lot, right? And so what that means is we all need to be building relationships and really investing in those relationships and then inviting our friends to come. What it means is really we each need to probably bring about like at least two people each for that to happen this year. Two friends that we just invest in and love on and build our relationship with and then say, man, you need to come and check out my church. You'd really like it. It's different. We also know that people don't come on a first invitation. Research has actually been done into this, and what they found is that most people will show up at church. People who are kind of interested in church won't show up until they're invited six times, which seems absurd, but it's true. And so it's not just like, hey, invite your friend. It's like you're probably going to have to invite them six times this year for them to actually show up. But listen, we can do this. It's not impossible, right? And even if it was impossible, that's fine because it's not about us. It's about God, right? It's not about our excuses. It's about God's power, not our power. And he can do anything through us if we're just willing to do what he asks us to do. So the first part of our mission, we got love God, love people, turn the world upside down. So the first part is love God. The second part is love people. And that's what we see happen next in Acts. This big, now big group of believers form a community of love. Check out Acts chapter 2. We'll put it on the screen for you. Verses 42 through 47. It says, they, and that's this big new group of believers, the new church, devoted themselves, they're like passionate about this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And check this out. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Isn't that cool? It's kind of a picture of the first church ever, and we see them learning about God together, sharing life together, sharing meals together, praying together, sharing their possessions and money with those in need. God is doing like amazing things through them, and the end result is that God adds to their number. They grow. More and more and more and more of God's children are coming home. What we want at Verve is to become a community of love. And I think we're seeing this happen. You know, we have people learning about God together here and in our Verve U courses, people sharing their lives together in microgroups, people like sharing their possessions and helping those in need across town at Dean Peterson Elementary and across the world at in Rocco Fuerte, Ecuador. And we just have countless stories over these last 2 years of people at Verve giving money to someone else who's going through a tough time or sharing meals with someone who just needed it or just had a sickness or a death, or people who are inviting people to come and live with them because they have no place to live, people making all the food, Ververs making all the food for somebody's funeral that we don't even know, people watching each other's kids, and people car house sitting and dog sitting and various kinds of sitting, and feeding hundreds of people on Thanksgiving Day, homeless people on Thanksgiving Day, and you name it, we're doing this. Like, we are becoming a community of love, and we need to do it even better. This has been kind of our big emphasis the last 6 months. Like, this is what we have really kind of hunkered down and tried to focus on, is how do we help new people here get connected well, and how do we make sure that this community is growing as a community of love? And so one of the things we've tried to do better is to make next steps really obvious for people here at Verve. That what we found repeatedly is there's kind of a best path for new people. They show up at a service, and the next best step tends to be, we found over and over, is to go to a Verve U course where they're going to learn some more and meet a bunch of people, and then to get into a microgroup where they're going to like do life with, share life with three or four other people that they meet with on a weekly basis, and just grow together towards God and towards living a life of love. We've been expanding Verve U and microgroups. We've been working on making our children's ministry even better. We've been working on connecting our middle school and high school students together. And man, I'm really excited about how Verve is just continuing to grow into a community of love. It's awesome. So we kind of see three parts to our mission: love God, love people, and then next, turn the world upside down. The third part of the mission is turn the world upside down. And here's the deal with this. That I have become convinced that if you love God and you love people, if you just decide you're going to be passionate about, you're going to be devoted to being a witness to Jesus, to people who maybe don't really know him, and developing a community of love, then turning the world upside down just becomes the natural result. Like, you can't really stop that from happening. It just starts to flow. And that's what we see with the very next scene in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, we're going to look at this passage more in the next couple weeks of this series. We're going to really kind of dig into it. But for now, just think about this. Peter and John become the first leaders of this new church and of this movement that is going to turn the world upside down for the next 2,000 years and beyond. And this is kind of how it starts, with just one guy. With just one guy. One guy who just needs someone to see him, to have some compassion, to do something. And that's exactly what Peter and John do for him. And it changes everything for this guy. And that's usually how turning the world upside down works. More often than not, it happens one person at a time. It's not typically, stadium events and martyrs and million-dollar checks. It's seeing someone in need and caring. Just having a little bit of compassion and then doing something, whatever it is that you can do. And what will happen is that person's life will be changed. And then they become a part of this turn the world upside down movement. And they help another life get changed. And on and on and on it goes. About a year after Warren got baptized back in the parking lot, his birthday was coming up. And it was on a Monday night. And Warren asked me one day if he could have a birthday party for himself here at Verve in our building on Monday night at 8:15 p.m. 8:15 p.m. is when our Monday night service ends. We have a Monday night 7:05 service. And Warren said, what I'm going to do is ask him all to my birthday party, but I'm going to say my birthday present, what I want from you, is to come to the 7:05 service and then come to my birthday party. If you love me, if you like me, if you're my friend, you'll come to this. And so Warren invites all his friends, and 33 of them showed up for our church service. And two of his friends who showed up were Wes and Lily, who know Warren from the Freak Wrestling show. And Wes and Lily really enjoyed the service. And they came back the next week, and then the week after that, and then the week after that. And then I handed them the microphone back in the parking lot. And they talked about how they met Jesus in this place and how it changed their lives. And they got baptized in the kiddie pool. And right after it happened, right after two more of God's lost children came home, I walked in the building, and Warren just happened to be walking down the hallway. And I walked up to him, and I said, Warren, how cool is that, man? And he said, yeah. I said, Warren, you realize that wouldn't have happened if you didn't have that birthday party, if you didn't invite them to come. And Warren smiled, and he said, Vince, I'm just getting started. And man, it's time for you and I to get started, right? Jesus gave us a mission to be his witnesses, to love God, love people, and turn the world upside down. What if in 2013 we decided to take that mission seriously? Like, what might God be able to do with us? But what if love God, love people, turn the world upside down became not just a slogan, but the most accurate way to describe your life, to describe my life, to describe our church? Listen, Jesus gave us a bold mission. So let's do it. Let's pray. God, there are probably some people in this room right now who still are at a place where they feel pretty disconnected from you. And maybe when they hear this idea of having a loving father who just wants them home so he could do life with them, maybe that surprises some people in this room. Maybe that appeals to some people in this room. And God, my prayer is that we would all come home to you and experience your love. It's life-changing. God, for the rest of us, would you make us passionate about you and about your children who have wandered off and need to be brought back to you, God? God, you did great things here in 2012, and would you use us and our willingness to engage in this bold mission to do more amazing things in 2013? God, thanks for the way you're already doing this one life at a time. We see it all the time here at Verve. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.